Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The United States higher education system has been the envy of the world, but now American higher education is in crisis with higher tuition, high student loan debt, and the rise of for-profit colleges. That's the observation of Suzanne Mettler. She's the author of the book Degrees of Inequality, How the Politics of Higher Education Sabotaged the American Dream. She's also professor of political science at Cornell University. We invite you to join our conversation. Our phone number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. You can also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org or write directly on our show page on the website at tpr.org. Did you try to get a college degree? Did you run into a buzzsaw of trying to make all the numbers work out for you? Not enough financial aid, not enough Pell Grants, and too much tuition? Or did you have a nightmare with a for-profit college where they took your money and then when you ran out of financial aid, they didn't really give you much after that? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. So, Professor Mettler, welcome to The Source.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be with you.
So who's getting a college degree these days?
Well, more people than ever are enrolling in college these days. But when you look at who actually ends up with a four-year degree by age 24, it's mostly people who grow up in high-income homes. And everyone else is barely doing better than they were back in the 1970s. This is particularly the case for people who grow up in the bottom half of the income distribution, where only 1 in 10 people in the bottom quarter actually get a four-year college degree by age 24. So that's pretty dismal. And then making matters worse, it's not just whether or not you go to college these days that matters, but also where, because there are really different outcomes depending upon where a student enrolls in terms of their likelihood of graduating, how much debt they're going to have, and their ability to pay it off.
You mean where, as in like if you go versus a junior college, community college versus a public university or a private university,
actually,
Ivy League? What do you mean?
Right. Well, it turns out today that increasingly our system of higher education is becoming very stratified. It's becoming like a caste system where people have very different experiences depending upon what sector of colleges they attend. Most students attend public universities and colleges. It's 73% of all students. But these colleges have really been squeezed by state budgets over the past 25 years. And as a result, students are paying more than ever because states are investing less than in the past. And so what that means is that it's harder and harder for students, particularly from less advantaged backgrounds, to actually graduate when they go to public universities and colleges. What they borrow in debt is not so much a problem as it is at other universities and colleges, but it's tough for them to actually stay enrolled and to graduate because of the strained resources and how much they're paying. And then there's the problem with the for-profit colleges, which is the fastest growing sector of higher education. Today, about 13% of college students attend them. And these schools have very low graduation rates, about 22%. They charge a lot of tuition, and students, they're much more expensive than public universities and colleges. And students take out a lot of money, they borrow a lot in order to attend them, but then find that later on it's very hard to get a job that enables them to repay those debts. And so some students can end up worse off than if they'd never enrolled in college in the first place.
Our phone lines are open. The number is 614-8980, particularly if you went to one of these for-profit colleges and you found yourself in that same situation where you have more in debt but you didn't really get a degree or a degree that really can't provide the kind of resources that you need to pay back your degree. Love to hear from you. The number is 614-8980. Let's get Zachary on the air. Zachary's called in. Zachary, welcome to The Source. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I just had a quick comment and a question. I was a disabled veteran, and I went to UTSA on what's called vocational rehab, and they pretty much paid for everything, supplies and tuition and fees. And I was wondering if things like the GI Bill and stuff like that, where you know we pretty much get a free ride, if that brings up the cost, or how does that affect tuition for these public universities?
All right, Zachary, thanks for your call. And Suzanne Mettler?
Well, the GI Bill is a fantastic form of federal student aid for veterans, and regardless of what kind of institution they attend, it's a big help to them. And of course, it goes the furthest at a public university or college because, on average, they have the lowest tuition, and they're a good deal. And so, it does not change the tuition, but it enables the student to go to that school without going into this kind of debt that they would risk otherwise. And the GI Bill has certainly increased and improved in recent years. In 2008, the post 9/11 GI Bill was created, and this was a big improvement. What's unfortunate is that a lot of veterans end up going to the for-profit colleges with their GI Bill money, and end up having pretty bad experiences often in terms of the value of their training, and once they graduate, while they might not be in the debt that other students would be in from having attended, they can find that the degree wasn't really worthwhile.
Yeah, we saw that in the post 9/11 world, that then Senator Hagel, now Secretary of Defense Hagel, was very much in favor of pushing for a new and improved GI Bill.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, so I see that as a real improvement, but that Congress hasn't been responsible, because we really ought to be regulating these for-profit colleges so that veterans who have the aspiration to improve their lives through getting more education can be making a good choice.
Okay.
And it's difficult for students.
Let me get Carmen on the air right now. Carmen, welcome to The Source. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah.
Hey. Carmen, go
Hello?
Ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I worked for two for-profit colleges for 10 years. One was an aviation college in Oklahoma, and another was a helicopter academy that went bankrupt in New Braunfels, Texas. And during the time that I worked for both of those colleges, students were often told things that were not they weren't flat-out lies, because we were very careful about legal matters, but we would gloss over the truth. I personally would do that. And finally, I got out of the industry altogether, just because I couldn't bring myself to confront students that had gone through the program and were not able to get jobs. I would encourage any student looking to go to a for-profit college to really check them out in detail, make sure to tour the school, speak to students who have been through the program before making a decision to do so. I'm not saying that none of the students were successful. My husband actually went through one of the schools that I worked for, and my daughter also. They're both successful in life, but there were, for those two successes, there were many, many that just couldn't find jobs, and they're stuck with huge amounts of debt, like $65,000 worth of debt.
All right, Carmen, thank you so much for your phone call and for that information. We really appreciate hearing about your experience. And I'm glad to hear that your family was able to take advantage of that. We're going to take a quick break. I'll get Suzanne's reaction to that story. We'll talk more about the for-profit colleges in the United States and what they're doing to the opportunities for higher education, their political connections, and how politics of higher education is being sabotaged, that has sabotaged the American dream. That's coming up on The Source. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We like to think of our country as where we have the public universities, colleges, where anyone can enter. As long as you've got the grades and you've got the grit, you can get that bachelor's degree, and then you can graduate, and the future is yours, right? It's your world, your oyster. Well, it may not be exactly that way. There are a lot of pitfalls, detours, and traps that await students who are ambitious, who have bright-eyed, and who are vulnerable. That's the conclusions that Suzanne Medler makes in her book, Degrees of Inequality, How the Politics of Higher Education Sabotaged the American Dream. And when we went to break, Susan, we heard from Carmen. She told us about her experience when she worked as basically as a recruiter for two of these for-profit colleges. They're very aggressive. I've been on the phone with some of these people, and they definitely are trying to get people to enroll. They tell them about their college. Oh, we can get you financial aid. We can get you this. We can get you that. And then what do they actually end up, Susan?
Yes, I really appreciated Carmen calling in and telling us about her experience. And that's what we find is that the for-profit colleges really invest primarily in recruitment. And they do this kind of aggressive recruiting the way you would if you're selling a timeshare or something, which is very different from traditional higher education, both the public and nonprofit private colleges and universities. And the problem is that the students they are particularly trying to recruit tend to be people who are the first in their family or in their community even to go to college. So they don't have a lot of information. And so they're really a vulnerable group. And what these schools are doing is preying upon their aspirations. You know, in the United States, we have this belief in the American dream that if you work hard, you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And what these schools are doing is taking advantage of some of the most vulnerable people in society who really want to do that, and yet pulling them in, getting them to sign on the dotted line so they take out a student loan and then pay their tuition. But then, in fact, it turns out very often that the training is not what it was purported to be, and the cost of tuition is much higher than what students will be able to repay later on. So these schools these days account for 13% of all college students, but nearly half of all student loan defaults. The average student who graduates with a four-year, with a bachelor's degree from one of them is in default on their student loan within 3 years. And they use almost one quarter of all federal student aid. So in other words, you know, taxpayers are trusting government to be using student aid for the purpose of really expanding opportunity and for allowing students to get high-quality degrees. That's not happening with these colleges. So it's a real problem, and I see it as government's responsibility to step in here and protect Americans from being taken advantage of by these schools, both the students and taxpayers.
Well, you're writing your book about the end of the 50% rule and how that opened the door for many of these for-profit colleges to expand so rapidly. Also, how in the George W. Bush administration that he appointed a lobbyist for the for-profit colleges and into a Department of Education role that was in charge of higher education. So you talk about the politics of higher education in Washington, D.C., and that there were certainly a heyday during the Bush administration to allow the for-profit education system to be what it is today.
Yes, that's right. You know, it's very interesting for me because I became aware of the for-profit colleges when I wrote a book some years ago on the World War II GI Bill. And these schools, there were some that existed before that bill, but time and again, when federal student aid money becomes available, these for-profit colleges have proliferated. Now, they used to be called trade schools, and then they were called career colleges, and now they're called for-profit colleges. But time and again, they've emerged to try to take advantage of student aid money. But what's different now than in the past is that in the past, eventually, you would have political officials on both sides of the aisle who would join together and try to do something about this problem. And this happened as recently as the late 1980s and early 1990s. There were officials in the Reagan administration and in the George H.W. Bush administration.
Sure, Secretary Bennett, education during Reagan.
Yes, exactly. Right. These were fiscal conservatives, and they didn't like having this industry that, as they thought, was mooching off the federal government and serving students poorly. And some Democrats were working together with them for reform. Then things changed dramatically during the late 1990s, and the Republican Party really reversed that stance and lined up in solidarity to support the for-profit college industry. And then meanwhile, there have always been some Democrats who've had really a soft spot for the industry because they see it as helping poor people. And so together with those Republicans and Democrats, you still have a majority of elected officials in the U.S. House of Representatives who will defend the industry. And so that's what was happening during the George W. Bush administration, is that the Department of Ed was really not enforcing some of the regulations that had been put on the books in the early 90s. to try to restrain how these schools operate and their use of federal student aid. And in recent years, the Obama administration has been trying to engage in rulemaking, but the industry fights back hard, and they have supporters on Capitol Hill in both parties.
All right, let's go back to the phones. The number is 614-8980, and Richard has called in. Richard, welcome to The Source. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay, two questions. First of all, I do teach in the community college here in San Antonio, Alamo Community College District, and two questions. One is, how are we doing? How are the community colleges doing relative to the for-profit schools? And if we're doing a better job, how can we do a better job of getting these students who are going to the for-profits to attend community college?
Okay, go ahead, Suzanne.
Okay, Richard, thank you so much for your questions and also for what I see as real public service at a community college. Community colleges charge students a fraction of what the for-profit colleges charge them and often can provide the same training and skills in the same area of expertise. But students just don't know about them because the for-profits engage in these heavy recruitment efforts that the community colleges don't. It's also the case that the for-profits were out ahead in trying to devise ways to pull in students who are a little older, maybe already working, already with child responsibilities for taking care of children, and getting away from the traditional semester system so that the flexibility they offered was a help to students. Now, I think that increasingly community colleges are trying to find ways to do this as well, and I think that we should, as a nation, be investing much more in the community colleges where there's money well spent, and encouraging the community colleges to continue to experiment with ways to try to accommodate people who are not traditional college students and to be able to do that more effectively. But the main challenge for community colleges is that they've had so little funding.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that. And recently, Tennessee has passed a law saying they're going to make community college free in the state. Oregon is also working towards that. Mississippi tried but failed to do that. So there seems to be a movement to popularize community colleges, even in some conservative parts of the country.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, I see this as a hopeful thing where I believe that around community colleges is an issue where you can have members of both parties, even in these very polarized times, willing to come together. Because Republicans have liked community colleges because they see them as responsive to workforce needs and training people for the workforce, and Democrats like them because of the population of people that they will assist. And so I'm heartened to see this, that in some states there are new efforts to try to make community colleges more accessible to more people. With any of those plans, the devil's in the details, and of course, you know, making it work out right is can be challenging, but that's where our political efforts ought to be today. Because, you know, the bigger issue is that we're seeing widening economic inequality in the United States. We're not producing enough college graduates, and we really need to invest in Americans so that we have the innovation and creativity and skills that are needed for economic development as well as for civic engagement and leadership.
Okay, back to the phones. David's called in. David, welcome to The Source. Go ahead. You're on the air.
I'm enjoying the topic today. I would slightly disagree with you. I think we produce plenty of college graduates. We just don't produce enough people with skills. I'm a business owner and have been in the business world my entire life. In fact, lived overseas many years. And I think what's happened in the U.S., there seems to be some sort of an assumption that if you have a degree, you're going to move up the ladder. And that's, to me, a tremendous farce. The only thing the degree is really for is for a government job or a licensed type job. If you're in the private sector and you have a third grade education and you can make the company more money than the gal across the road, you're going to move up. We need skills. We don't need education. We need skills. I've got many people I know who want to work overseas, don't have offices in the U.S., don't have factories here, not because this is not where they sell their product. We don't have skilled people in our high schools today, and we're going over this with our children.
Okay, David, thanks for those comments. Suzanne?
Well, I believe that, you know, when you look closely at the data, we need more people with higher education, with traditional types of four-year degrees, but also, as the caller says, more people with skills. And one of the tragedies about the for-profit colleges is that, you know, they kind of hold that promise that they're offering skills training to people who want to be able to move directly into the workforce with it and to be trained for with skills for a particular job. And they also hold the promise that they're going to really help to improve the lives of people who have not been very well off. And yet they're not delivering well on that. So I think we need to find ways to try to make them more accountable.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, I've got to wrap this up. Suzanne, thank you so much. This is Suzanne Medler. She's the author of Degrees of Inequality, How the Politics of Higher Education Sabotaged the American Dream. She also wrote The Submerged State, talking about the policies enacted in Washington, D.C., how they impact us without us noticing them. Thank you so much for joining us. And this is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.